the counselor. And interesting that Pastor Mike talked about people to serve, and one of those things that we do to serve is to be counselors for people that need to be counseled. And when you look back at it, and when you think about it, when you look at your life and you look at the people that have influenced you, there's just a whole bunch of people in my life that have had influence. Dr. Roy Zook, and there's a pastor in the Methodist church, even though he was not on target about everything, that was very influential way back when I was little, and grandmothers and grandfathers, and all of these people lend their advice and counseling to us. And so we are, whether we like it or not, we, all of us, are counselors. We have experience. We have some sort of background that gives us some understanding of the way things work. It may not be just exactly the way you think. You may think that we all ought to be have biblical knowledge, but it may well be that it's medical knowledge, or it's some other information that you have from your experience that you use to help people. It was interesting to see Michael come in to Bruce's boy, comes in and undertakes to do the mechanical things with regard to one of my tools in my shop that I have difficulty doing, and he just did it with ease, made the job simple, looks simple. Anyway, some people, though, some of the counselors are harmful. Some aren't necessarily helpful. But it is true for almost every one of those, especially those who are believers, that we have benefited from the Christian counselors, the Christian people that have been able to talk to us and influence grandmothers, grandfathers, parents, and who have you. But what are those people that do that don't have that experience, don't have grandfathers or grandmothers? What do they do? Who do they turn to? Who do they seek, and who do they go to for wisdom or for counseling? Well, friends, parents, teachers, pastors, grandparents. I can remember that I had a problem 10 years after my dad died. And I thought about it. I was trying to figure out, well, do I do this? And I thought about it, and I thought, well, you know, I'll just call up my dad. And so I reached for the phone. I mean, this is 10 years after he died, because I knew, you see, if I had called him, he would have given me his wisdom, and I would have had the benefit of him. And a counselor. He would have been a counselor for me. So, we all are counselors. So what does the Bible say? Proverbs 11:14 says, "Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety." And Proverbs 12:20 says, "Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy." And Proverbs 15:22, "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors they are established." So God seems to and appears to be saying a whole multitude of counselors. And yet I thought, when I started to look this up, that I was going to find out that God was my counselor. He's the one that I turned to. But this says multitude of counselors. There's only one God. How do you get a multitude of counselors with only one God? And I was thinking, you know, God's supposed to be our counselor. and that the verses say multitude of counselors. Well, made me think about in 1960, I was coming home late from the office. It was at the intersection of Hillcrest and Walnut Hill. About 2 o'clock in the morning, I was leaving the office from work, and I had a big case coming down the pike, and it was going to require every ounce of effort. And I'd worked late. And I approached the intersection. It's 4 lanes going each way with a stoplight going each way. And as I approached the intersection, I saw one car coming from the west, and it didn't look like he was going to stop. Drove right through a red light, right into smack dab, hit the stoplight in the median, smack dab in the center of the vehicle. Now, he could have driven to the right of that stoplight. There were 2 unoccupied lanes going the way he was going. He could have driven to the left of that. There were 2 unoccupied lanes going the other way, but there was nothing to come in and stop him. He drove straight in to that stoplight. Well, of course, I know what you think. You think that he got out of the car, and so I pulled over, and I got out of my car, and I went up to him and said, "Hey, look, man, you need to know God." It's not what I did. I was shocked. He was in stoned. He was clearly stoned. And the police were there almost instantaneously, like somebody had to forewarn the police that he was driving down that road. So I drove on. But that man needed a multiplicity of counselors. He needed probably attorneys, doctors, psychiatrists, parents, pastors, preachers, grandmothers, friends, hopefully some believers that would talk some sense into him. He needed counselors. He needed a counselor. At the same time, about the same time that this happened, why, I had a friend, Marcia, who had gone through, and I didn't represent her in the divorce, but she'd gone through a messy, messy divorce, and the husband actually went to jail. Didn't pay the bills, and of course she signed the notes, all of the notes for all of the goodies that he bought, and so she ended up paying hundreds of thousands of dollars out of the secretary's salary trying to pay off all those bills. Got them all paid. Had enough money that she could make a down payment on a brand new Ford automobile. Her 17-year-old son was graduating from high school, and he said, "Well, you know, Mom, I sure would like to drive that car with my date to the prom." He made him promise and promise and promise and promise and promise he wouldn't do anything wrong. Let him take the car. When the police arrived, his comment was, "Well, that pole just jumped right out in front of me." True story. Got to hand it to Mom, because she told her boy that Jesus walked everywhere he went, and that's exactly what you're going to do from now on. You're going to walk that mile and a half to school. You're going to walk to church. You're going to walk to the counselor's office. You're going to walk everywhere you go. And she made him do it. That's some good counseling. And last I knew, that boy was counseling alcoholics and drug addicts. Because, see, he had experience. He knew what the problem was, and he had experience. And a lot of times that's what we have. We have experience. So we have the ability to be counselors. So what do we do? What do we do? How do we go and talk to those prosecutors that are non-prosecuting criminals? How do we talk to delegation of family at the school board? How do we talk to justify the evil that we see, the transgenders, all of these things that are going on? Maybe we ought to be looking at what we do, because you see, it's not the simple things like we had before. The simple things that we had before, the drug addict, the guy that stole something from a store, those kind of things, it's not that anymore. Because what we're hearing is that the federal government is seeding the clouds with nasty stuff. We're hearing that they've harvested all the apples up in Washington. They harvest them. They're all sitting there. They burned them. They burned them all. They burned them all. Illegals being trained to be flight attendants on the airplanes that you're flying. Burning the meat packing plants. There's been more fires in the meat packing plants in the last few years than there has in anything else. Train wrecks. More train wrecks per mile traveled than ever before. They're talking about monetary control. Give everyone the same wage income. Making slaves of everyone except the elite. They're talking about this. There's threats that they're doing this, and then there's the gender transition stuff, and those women that have been changed into a different type of a person than they thought they were or they were born, and they're wanting to change back. All of these things, and so how do we counsel these people? I mean, that's tough. How do we even get them to listen to us? Well, somehow we've got to get them to turn to God. And I'm not sure how we do that except to keep inviting them, keep trying to reach out to one by one by one. And then only then, if they listen, if they are willing to listen, if they've got their mind made up, and so many of them have already made up their mind. So they're pushing LGBTQ. So what does God really say about counseling? And I'm going to turn to Psalm 33, 4 through 11. Psalm 33, 4 through 11. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as the heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth counsel of heathen to naught. He make the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. What he's telling us is he is the counselor. He really is the counsel. Oh, yeah, we do some of that, and he would be asking us to do some of that, but he is the counselor. So, his counsel stands forever. What he says goes. What he did is done. What he says he's going to do, he does do, and what he wants you to know, he's put in the Word. So he is the counselor. Our job then is to still counsel him, yeah, on the things we know and we understand, but our job still is to get everybody to turn to the counsel of God. That's our job, to get them to turn to the counsel of God. Well, turn to Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46, 9, verse 9 through 11. 46, 9 through 11. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, calling the ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. He's telling us that he's telling us what he's going to do. He's telling us what's going to come down the pike. He will do as he says. Now, turn to Acts 5. Acts 5:38 and 39. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply be ye found even to fight against God. You can't overthrow his counsel. You can't overthrow it. What he's telling us is what he's telling us, and that is the counsel. That is the counsel that we have to share. We need to understand that that's his counsel. He can't overthrow his counsel. Turn to Corinthians 4, or 1 Corinthians 4. Now this, I think, is quite interesting. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring it to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. He's telling us not to judge anything. Not for us to judge then those people that are transgender, telling us not to judge them. But we don't necessarily buy into it. We can't really buy into it. But he's telling us not to judge what's coming down the pipe. Not necessarily the transgenders. That's not it. What he's talking about is what's coming, what we need to see. So now what he's saying here, he's talking about what they're talking about trying to do. What I was just going through a minute ago, what they're trying to do is to try to get what he's talking about here is that he's talking about us not to judge the monetary control, how we handle that, how we make and execute, how they handle, they make in a slave economy, how you handle elite medical control of treatment, how you handle people in control that claim to be super race, how you handle the gender transition staff and all of that stuff. He's telling us not to judge how we handle that. He's telling us to share the gospel message with these people the best we can. Not to judge what he's going to do. What is he going to do? What is he going to do? And see, all of us think maybe the rapture's coming because it's all so bad. And perhaps it is. Perhaps it is. Turn to Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6, 4, verse 4, and I'm going to read through 17. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall far away, to renew them again to repentance, to see that they crucify them to themselves, the Son of God, afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain, and cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, he receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end it is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, and that ye need not slothful, but followers of them who follow the faith and patience inherited in the promises. For when God made the promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had plenty endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, and confirm it by an oath. So his counsel is what we really ought to be looking to in all things. What's coming down the pipe. So how do we handle it? When they come to the door, when they come to the door and want your guns. So how do we handle it? There are people on both sides of the possibilities. There are people who say, well, they will shoot them if they come to get my gun. How do we handle it? What does God say? And of course, he says to turn the other cheek to all these people. Tough decision. How do we handle it? Well, we counsel with God. And see, if you, and I'm not going to go there and read all this to you, but But, you know, they're killing all the cows in Ireland. You know, 200,000 cows have been killed in Ireland to save the community from global warming or global cold or whatever. They're burning the meat in the meat packing part plants. China is threatening war. Take those guns and fight. LGTB is putting on their shows, regardless of whether it's right or meat or proper or anything else. It's all happened. What does God say? Isaiah 26:4 says, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." In Nahum 1:7 says, "The Lord is good and strong and holding the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust him." Psalm 25:2, "O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me." So we turn to God, or do we take action on our own? And see, if we were going to take action, we're probably behind the eight ball, because we're fighting the ballots, the voter white paper ballot. We're fighting against the gun takeover. Have we really stood up and stood strong? Have we really done what we could do? Well, we haven't gathered together as a group to form a military. So now we are in a posture that we have a counselor. A counselor is Christ Jesus, God himself. We'd seek to him. And I don't know how this all happens, but I have people that tell me that God told them to do this, and sometimes that seems rather freaky. Sometimes it doesn't jibe. But you know, I think what it boils up down to is that what God is trying to tell us, that we seek counsel with him. We seek counsel with him. And you know, when we really get to looking at it, what we have is Jeremiah really had actual communication with God. But Luke 24 tells us the disciples were walking with God after he was raised from the dead, and Christ was saying, "Don't you understand? Don't you know to communicate with me, to counsel with God?" He's telling the disciples that. They, of all people, ought to know. So what do we do? What do we do here? We turn to God, you see, and talk to him. Pray to him and talk to him. And I don't know how God talks to you, but we have a conversation. He puts something in my mind, and I say, "That isn't going to work." And then he puts something else in my mind while I'm thinking about how I can lay awake all night long trying to get him to tell me what to do. And yet I have other people that I know that God just says, "Do this." And I don't know how, but I do know that when I turn to God in prayer, the results are a lot better than when I don't. I've just proved it to myself over and over and over again. When I do on my own what I think is best without my counsel with God, those are where the disasters come. And I mean disasters. Where I get together with Ruth and we pray. We counsel with, just exactly what Jesus was telling the disciples, to counsel with God, counsel with Him, communicate with Him. Are we then going to make our own decisions, or are we going to counsel with God? And I've been so impressed with so many times here in the recent days that the blessings of the prayers that we've made, the results of those have been so much better than they could have been. This moves me to encourage everybody to counsel with God, communicate with Him. I don't know how you talk with Him. I don't know how He talk. He will talk to you. I don't know how He will. Sometimes I don't understand it, and sometimes it seems quirky, and I know people that say, God told me this, and there's no way I believe that. So it sounds crazy on my part to say, talk to Him. Counsel with Him. But on the other hand, I know from experience. I know from experience. And I know that I have a responsibility to tell my kids, my children, my family, that when I pray, when I counsel with God, the results are better. I just know I need to be telling them that. I need to be telling them that when things go wrong and they call me up, my children call me up, and it's just gone wrong, I need to tell them. If you're communicating with God, maybe the results would be a little better. Maybe not. God doesn't guarantee particularly anything except salvation if you believe. But I know from experience that however I communicate works best in my life. However Ruth communicates works amazingly. However we do it when we both communicate works for us. And I believe the church needs to counsel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the fact that we can talk to You and that You're there. I don't understand how You can listen to me and listen to my brother in Ohio at the same time. I don't understand how You can listen to me and listen to a whole bunch of other people somewhere all over the world. I don't understand that. But somehow You're able to do it. I don't understand how come You tell some people, yes, do this, and You leave me hanging trying to make up my own mind, giving me options all the time that I have to wrestle with, which is the best way to go. I don't understand why You communicate with Jeremiah one way and with the disciples another. I don't understand that, but I do understand that You do counsel with those that seek You. So I pray, Father, that we all seek counsel. Seek counsel with the counselor. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen.